Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you getting out of bed, put your feet on the floor, and join us for the next hour's ride, because we're going to have a little bit of fun today. Barbecue Bob is out on sabbatical. He's down in, Louisiana, down there at a trade show for the barbecue and patio business. So I'm sure he's going to be coming back with lots of new ideas and about new equipment. So joining me today as a co-host is one of my favorite people on this earth, because he stands on the other side of the bar when I go to my favorite microbrew, and he's telling me all about the brews, and that's Nick Roloffs from the Gravel Bottom Brewery. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, I'm glad you're here. And a little bit later in the show, we've got another guest that's going to be joining us. He's actually sitting in right now, but we're going to be talking to him at length, and that's Jeff Butzo from Fish Lads and Carvers. You're not going to want to miss this segment, because what I've got for the first time ever is an expert on fish and seafood. We talk about four-legged grill meat all the time, as you know, and some two-legged when we're doing the yard birds, but we don't spend a lot of time on the ocean and the fresh water, and we're fortunate enough to have Jeff with us. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Hey, man, you don't know how glad I am you're here, because we're going to have a lot of fun and learn a little bit about this, but before we get into all of that, I want to talk a little bit about this week and what happened. As you know, Barbecue Bob and I went over to Michigan State. Our Sparties didn't fare so well. Hail to the victors. I'll give credit where credit's due. And, you know, I root against Michigan only on one day a year, and that's when they play Michigan State in football. Well, I guess two, because they'll play basketball too. But at the end of the day, the better team won, and salute to them. But in that process, our friends at Wells Fargo had us over, and we did a big tailgate. There was about 150 people there, and we threw down beef loin. That was a little bit of a challenge, because we only had a gas grill to cook it on, and if you've ever cooked a whole beef loin before, you've got a big end, which is about the size of a softball, and you got the small end, which is about the size of a golf ball. And that thing cooks uneven, and we were rotating it and cooking it, and when it's that thick piece on the end, it gets pretty done on the outside on a gas grill, even though we were using the Tech Infrared, before it gets done on the inside. So what we ended up doing to compensate for that is we charred the whole thing on the outside, and then as it cooked, we started cutting off the smaller end up to the thicker end, and then we laid it sideways on the grill when we got to the real thick part, just put a little color on the outside of it. It was still medium rare, but put that on a fresh Kaiser roll with a little bit of horseradish sauce and a little bit of blue cheese. Man, those things flew off the tray.
So, I bet.
Yeah, it was a good time. And we had a big Bloody Mary bar that was there. That was a lot of fun. So we were able to pair that up. We did mimosas, and then we switched to beer, Nick, afterwards.
We had a lot of
different beers there. But if you heard me say beef tenderloin with blue cheese, what would have you put with it?
Okay, beef tenderloin, blue cheese, man. Like, first impulse, you got to have something kind of to backbone that. I mean, my go-to is always an IPA, because I like, you know, the refreshing, hoppy character. It's got enough bitterness to kind of keep it balanced. But I think, honestly, with that blue cheese, you might be better off with something like a little bit heartier, like a kind of like a toasty brown ale, or like a slightly, you know, like a robust port or something like that. It's going to complement that, you know, rich, meaty character, and even the creaminess of that blue cheese going to be counteracted by that roastiness of that, you know, nice flavor of that porter.
Yeah, great. That's great advice. Listen to that. The man knows his beer. We're going to be doing that all throughout the show, is giving you little tidbits on what kind of beer to drink with the food we're doing. before we got into the beer, we did the little Scottish eggs, which is just, it's the simplest, stupid little itty bitty thing that we do. But people just love these things. I went over to a butcher shop and got some kielbasa that was, and I uncased it, right? So, and then you take a hard boiled egg, you put a little patty of that kielbasa in there, flatten it down in your hand, and then drop the egg in the middle and roll it up like a ball, like a snowball, right? Mm-hmm. Just so there's about a quarter inch of that kielbasa around the outside of the egg. Threw that thing on the smoker for 45 minutes at about 250. I don't know. We had four dozen of them, right? We took them off there. When I took those things off and I sliced the first one, there were people like, well, how'd you inject that egg inside of that piece of sausage? And I'm like, well, okay, we'll explain that one away. She is in college, but, you know, she was a freshman.
That's like people asking when you put the alcohol in the beer process.
Yeah.
So when does it go in? You're just, oh, my, you really don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, we sliced those up and served those, and it was like a flock of seagulls, man. As soon as those things came out and the first guy tried one, he's like, oh, my. That's a lot better than it looks. I'm like, yeah, we brought it today. So they had a lot of fun with that. Those went very well with the Bloody Mary. We finished up, and we're going to have a guy named Andrew Smith. He's a corporate chef, but he spent many, many, many years in kitchens. Andrew's going to be joining us later in the show, and Andrew has a marinade that he puts on lamb chops that is the best I've ever had. Well, we bought 20 pounds of lamb chops, and if you know anything about lamb chops, that's a bunch of lamb chops. We had marinated those things for 24 hours, and we brought them out, let them drip dry a little bit because they were in olive oil as part of the marinade. That flares up on a grill, if you don't know that, when it drips off and hits your coals. So we grilled those up to a fine medium rare, presented them, sprinkled a little chef salt on the top of those, and just drizzled a little bit of our Old World Olive Company Meyer Lemon olive oil on top of that, and serve those up. Excellent, excellent tailgate food because it's food with a handle,
yeah.
Right? That little French bone
finger
on there, food. You just take a picture of
or
that in your head.
It depends
and,
on
oh, man, it was fabulous. Those things went like crazy. People couldn't believe that we were doing lamb chops at a tailgate, but, you know, that's how the grilling guys roll. So, but anyway, so we had a lot of fun. Jeff, after hearing all that stuff, does Carver's carry lamb chops on a regular basis?
Yeah, we have them full. We do a full rack that's all Frenched out, and then we can also do the lollipops like you're talking about,
right?
Which is a really nice way to go, especially for the grill.
Yeah, yep. And you can buy those by the pound?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, not every butcher shop is going to carry those.
Right.
And Jeff is he's actually has two roles. He's the proprietor of two different businesses, which is this thing is like an absolute home run with the grilling guys. Because he owns a butcher shop and he also owns Fish Lads. The butcher shop is called Carver's. The fish shop is called, is it a fishmonger? Is that the proper word? What is it? Where are we supposed to?
Fishmonger kind of encompasses pretty much anybody that works there. You know, I mean, it's mostly guys that are out front, you know, helping with selection and able to be hands-on with processing and cutting and handling the fish. You know, the guy in the apron, that's your fishmonger.
Okay.
For sure.
All right, but he's the proprietor. He has mongers working for him.
That's right.
So he's a monger master.
I spent many years being a monger.
Yeah.
It's a different word for, you know.
Right.
I bet you did. Yeah, in the next segment, we're going to dive into his background a little bit before we take a swim around the shop so that we can make sure that we understand. But, Nick, tell us a little bit about your background. You're going to be sitting in the co-pilot chair the rest of the day. So let our listeners know a little bit about your background so when they're taking your advice, they know it's good.
It's actually a funny story because if I were to look back 10 years ago and examine myself and tell myself, hey, guess what you're going to be doing 10 years from now, I would have told myself to shut up because, you know, I was never somebody who, you know, wanted to try beer or alcohol or anything coming out of high school. And it wasn't until a trip to Germany completely changed my mind about beer. Because, you know, what do you ever have a sip off of? Your dad's like, here, try a sip of this beer. And it's, you know, a domestic.
Right.
And the first taste, you're kind of, wrinkle your face at it. Some people acquire that taste, but it really didn't come to me. But first beer that I had in Germany of any consequence was a local Hefeweizen.
Okay.
And I remember taking that first sip, and it was a free beer too, so that made it even better probably.
They're always good that way.
Absolutely. But I remember taking that first sip and just being like, spiced bread, you know, that estery characteristic of the yeast, you know, the richness of the malt, the creaminess of the texture. It was just, this is beer? And that began, you know. Suddenly, I dove when I got back from Germany back to the United States. craft beer. You know, went, picked up a six pack, tried all these different styles, found I liked the darker beer over the course of time, developed into much more of an IPA kind of person. And that's where I got into it in terms of tasting.
Yeah. Well, coming up next, we're going to explore that a little bit more, but you just need to know that Nick's the man. He has a command of the beer business, and another guy that's got a command of things is our buddy Jeff Butzo from Fish Lads and Carver's. And stick with us. We'll be back.